As 2024 comes to a close, we at the AEO Studios would like to thank you for the love and support this past year. We truly appreciate it. We hope to have made your year just a little bit brighter. Let's resolve to make 2025 the best year ever. Raise a glass and toast. Here's to health, happiness, and good times. Happy New Year, everybody. Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We got a great show for you today and tonight. The Packers looked like a college team last night. Pete Alonso remains unsigned, and the NBA and NFL clash on Christmas Day. But we'll begin today's show, because we're a New York-based show, on the Jets and the Giants. The Giants, behind the arm talent of Drew Lock, beat the Colts on Sunday, possibly losing the number one pick in the process. The Jets decided to go up to Buffalo and play Gangster's Paradise from a bump box before going out in the field and getting blasted 40-14. The game started off 40-0, just in case anybody was interested. So, just in case anybody was interested. Z, which team was more embarrassing yesterday? The Giants losing the number one pick or the Jets getting blasted by 40 and having entrance music like they're a fucking wrestler?
Late to the ring, they were announced in the ring, but they were to this guy to my right. No, but you know, the Jets are the Jets. Like, this is
the Jets.
This is what they do. The clown show, that train's never late. It just finds new and interesting ways to be stupid. Now, Aaron Rodgers, it's very telling. 40 zip. They asked him after the game. He's like, did they ever think about going to Tyrod Taylor? I'm like, yeah, once it's 40-0, it's fourth quarter, turned to brick. He said, hey, maybe we should go to Tyrod here. Maybe we should do that. And then he scores a touchdown. So there you go. There it is, the next coach of the New York Jets, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Aaron Rodgers. At the very least, offensive coordinator. He's got his finger on the pulse. It's only mostly dead. But that's a friggin' embarrassment. A complete embarrassment from head to toe. But let's get to the reality of the situation here. The Giants had one job. Right? I as a fan, I never want to lose games. But there comes a point in time where you have to take into account that this is turning, right? This is getting really bad. And you need to salvage something out of this season. Right? That's where the Giants were. They're beyond the, oh, if we could stay in it, we have an outside. No. No. They're not in the position the Saints are in. They're not in the position that some of these other mid-lane teams are, where there's like a ray of light and a little bit of hope because of the division they're in or something. Like, the Giants are in the NFC East. It's the worst possible draw for them. And on top of that, you're no good. The team is no good. Like, all of the expectations at the beginning of the year, like, oh, yes, like, we have a, you know, we brought in Brian Burns and we reinforced the defense and we, you know, no. This team underachieved all year because they had enough talent to make some noise. They did. Yes, you lost Saquon Barkley, who's about to break his single-season rushing record.
No, he's not. He's 300 yards. It's not going to happen.
He'll pull a Cam Ward. He'll get that in the first quarter, and then he's done. No, he's not going to get it. Thankfully. He, if he were to do it, he'd have to do it against the Giants. which would be very fitting and apropos. But yeah, the Eagles, they're the class of the division. They're not going any, you know, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. They're going to be a problem. The Commies. People like to talk about how one player doesn't really make a difference. Jaden Daniels certainly seemed to make a difference there. They're now playoff bound. Dak Prescott, you want to talk about how one player doesn't make a difference. Dak Prescott being out, it kind of makes a difference. Yeah, Cooper Rush is good enough to get you beat, but he's like Drew Lock. He's like these other guys that Joe Flacco. Just good enough to get you beat. Then there's the Giants. What can you, as a Giants fan, like me, what can you hang your hat on this year? What can you say we were competitive in? We did better than anyone else in. We started the plane thing when people are like flying overhead, sell the team. Like Giants fans did that. So is that what we're hanging our hat on? You had Daniel Jones, who was ass. Now he's backing up Sam. Actually, he's not even backing up. He's third stringing Sam Darnold. You had Cutlets, who hurt his forearm and never saw him since. He may be buried in, like, Hoffa. You got Drew Lock, who did his best Matt Flynn impersonation yesterday. He's getting made himself a lot of money. Somebody will be stupid enough to say, hey, Drew Lock, you're worth a lot of money.
The New York Jets.
And then he'll get beat out by a rookie in training camp. Go full Matt Flynn. You don't go half Matt Flynn. You got to go full Matt Flynn. You got to lose out to a rookie, and that rookie wins you a Super Bowl. Well, that's not going to happen because it's the Jets. But they don't run better than anybody. They don't block better than anybody. They don't catch better than anybody. They don't throw better than anybody. You need everything. So you need everything. And the way to start with the everything, right, is to get that number one pick. Yeah, I mean, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Shedeur Sanders seems to think that he's coming, right? He's got the cleats, and you know, that was not a great performance by him in the bowl game, but he's got the cleats, he's got the swag. He seems convinced that he's going to be a New York Giant. Whether come hell or high water, come Dion influence or not, Shedeur Sanders is convinced he's going to be a Giant. Not so fast, my friend. Not so fast. Drew Lock happened yesterday. Yes, great. 5 touchdowns. Looked great. Killed the Colts. Absolutely killed the Colts.
And a good defense.
Yeah. They're done.
Colts have a good defense. Knocked them out of the playoffs.
The Colts have a decent defense. They have a good running. Jonathan Taylor. They have pieces there where you say, oh, okay, they're good at something. You can't tell me one thing the Giants aren't good at. You can't. You can't. And if you tell me that, if you say something, you're lying. You're lying to me. You now drop to 4th. Yes, the Browns don't need a quarterback because they restructured Deshaun Watson's contract. Or did they restructure Deshaun Watson's contract to trade him? Did they make it more palatable to get rid of him? I would argue they made it more palatable to get rid of him. So yeah, Carl Banks is like, oh, well, the team with the number one pick doesn't need a quarterback. Okay, he'll take Travis Hunter. That seems to be like the fait accompli. They'll take Travis Hunter with the Patriots at number one. Titans need a quarterback. The Browns might need a quarterback. That leaves you at 4, right? Are your two guys, Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, may not be there for you, right? So what do you have to do now? Now you got to move. Now it's going to cost you more to get this coveted player that you want. That's a problem. And that's where Carl Banks and I differ. Do I encourage tanking? No. But at some point, you realize you suck, you go in for it. Like, this is what's happening. You might as well just lean into the joke. Lean into the joke that your franchise is. Go all in. And they tried that with Cutlets. I think that was the give up, right? That was the give up moment? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like, we stink. Go with the Italian. The problem is he lost.
There's
he
50 won. Feet of crap, and then there's us.
Exactly. That's where the Giants are the A's right now. So I would argue that on the surface level, the Jets are more embarrassing because they got their doors blown off and they talk a big game and they're brash and they're loud and they're annoying. But then when you really dig into it, the Giants, that's way more embarrassing on a holistic level from owner on down, specifically yesterday. Long term, it's always the Jets. Long term, it's always the Jets are more embarrassing. But just yesterday, just for week 17 in the year of our Lord, 2024, I'm saying the Giants are more embarrassing in a win, in a victory. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. You screwed everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I still stand behind Joe Shane and what he was planning on doing this season. I think there's a plan. You know, they decided to ride with Daniel, and there's no way that if they kept Saquon, he was going to have the season he's having. Like,
not behind that line,
the
no.
Expectations for the Giants were a lot less than the expectations for the Jets, who were a quarterback away. So I think we knew what this season was about. We thought the Giants would compete, but it was about finding out, is Daniel Jones our quarterback? We're gonna you know, put a line together. We're going to get him a weapon. We're going to play stout defense. We went and got Burns, and we're going to see where we're at. And we found out that Daniel is not a starting quarterback in the National Football League, and the Giants need other pieces. But I'm a Drew Lock fan. I mean, I would buy a Drew Lock jersey. I love Drew Lock. I think he's great. I don't understand why there wasn't more effort to make him a more focal point to what you're saying is to compete at a higher level. You had a chance to play Drew Lock or Tommy Cutlets, and you went with Tommy Cutlets. To me, was a give up. To me, that was a give up. Where I think if you played Drew Lock, if you got him ready to play, you know, your team would have competed. You'd have more than a handful of wins, and you'd be better. I do think Drew Lock will be a Jet next year, or he's going to be on a team. He can throw. He can throw. I mean, he's like a bad Jay Cutler. Like, that's basically what he is. He can throw the ball. He just needs... He needs direction.
He's Jay Cutler. Like, you once told me...
No. Jay had a way... No. Jay had a way better arm.
Bad Brett Favre, good Brett Favre.
Jay was a lot more conceited than Drew Lock. I don't think Drew Lock is that conceited. I mean...
Smoking Jay.
Right. So, for me, the more embarrassing football team yesterday was the New York Jets. Because they just don't seem to get it, right? It's like, why the hell would a coach let this team, who has underperformed all year, go on the road to Buffalo, a team that is 7-0 at home this year, looking to go 8-0 for only the third or fourth time in team history? Would you let them go out with a bump box playing Gangster's Paradise? Nope. The only person who knows that song on the team is probably Aaron Rodgers, because everybody else was born after 1995. And you decide to do this on the road against the number two seed, who just decided to fucking blow your doors off the minute you touch the grass.
It was important to them to set that single season point total record.
Was it important to piss them off? Because that's what you did. And this is a game where Aaron Rodgers is one touchdown away from his 500th of his career. He couldn't fucking get it done. Tyrod came in and threw two tutties. It is so bleak over there. I mean, the Giants agree. Their foundation is very weak, right? But I'm talking about the New York Jets need to just tear it all down. Like, get rid of the flight crew, get rid of the on-field promotions. You need to go back to pretending like only thing that matters here is football. Get rid of all the extracurriculars, the Instagram, the X posts, all the on-field shit before games, in the middle of games, after the games. get rid of it all. We need to focus on becoming a professional football team. In a year where you said you were a quarterback away, the Commanders drafted a quarterback and are going to the playoffs. And they were not a quarterback away. The whole mindset and concept of this franchise is so delusional and so disoriented that it's painful to watch. Because as you're like watching this, you're like, but why are we just running on the field and playing a football game? Like, why are we, this isn't college. This isn't like Ball State or Florida Gulf Coast. We're a professional football team. Let's get out on this field and play meaningful football. And it didn't get played for three quarters. You know, it reminds me of the you know, we talk about Moneyball all the time. It reminds me of, like, in the middle of a losing streak, Billy Beane's walking through the clubhouse and they're playing music and dancing up on tables. He walks in there and he smashes the radio. Says, that's what losing sounds like. And that's the way you should have entered the field yesterday. Determined, serious, and focused. Not playing a fucking gangster's paradise. And on the flip side, Giants, hey man, I'm all about playing to win. I don't think a number one pick guarantees you anything in this league. We've seen that with the Trevor Lawrence pick. We've seen that with all the picks in the last 10 years. I mean, there's no guy that's going to flip over your franchise in a heartbeat. And a top four pick is just as good as a top five pick. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. Because not everybody's needs are the same. I am not the only person that I like at the top of the draft is Travis Hunter.
And he's gone at one. The Patriots have
him. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the Patriots quarterback? You sold on Drake May?
I think Drake May is a stud. I think he's got arm talent.
Fair.
I think he's the best player on their team. And that's an indictment of the veterans that are there. So if you were picking
at one, you would have wanted Shedeur Sanders for the Giants.
Personally, I think he's a brash, arrogant asshole, but he's a good football player. At the end of the day, the Giants need so much.
Right. I'm glad you said that. So like you just said, the Patriots have their quarterback. Drake May is their quarterback.
Yes.
Okay, great. They have a bevy of B to C level receivers. They have a B plus B minus running back. They could draft Travis Hunter. That's fine for them.
The New England Patriots can take Travis Hunter, and they could be in the playoffs next year.
They can compete at a high level because that franchise has got some issues too. But I'm just saying, like, the Giants taking Travis Hunter, that doesn't do anything there.
Meaningless. It may address the issue with the secondary. But you're not drafting a cornerback number one. Who was the last corner that was drafted number
Probably
one?
Probably Charles Woodson, right?
Was he number one that year?
Oh, you know
I'm
what?
Not
I don't
sure
know if
he was number one.
Let me
that
see.
Year. He won the Heisman, but I don't even know if he was number one that year.
No, you're right. He probably wasn't. He probably was a top five pick.
Right.
Let me see where he's at.
Positions. You're not drafting number one. You're not drafting.
Where
corners.
Are you, Mr. Woodson? Yes, he was a top. He was number four because he came out Peyton's year.
Right. Oh, so Peyton Leaf. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh. Well, there you go. Perfect example, right? Not all number one picks are the same. This year, like, it's a question mark. Could he be something? Like, it's a lot more of a question mark than a Peyton Manning. Everybody was kind of sure that Peyton Manning was going to be good.
Everybody was really saying it was Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning, right?
Yeah, but there were also questions about the competition that Ryan Leaf played at Wazoo. So, you know, Tennessee versus Wazoo is a lot different. Now, Miami and Colorado, they don't play the same schedule. Colorado objectively plays a harder schedule. We'll see what Shedeur Sanders becomes. Is he a difference maker? Yes. Is he the savior? No. The Giants need more. That's the problem. The Giants need more.
Yeah.
And that's where Joe Shane comes in. Like, yes, he was going to get another bite at the apple because Gettleman drafted Jones. But at the same time, Shane put the rest of this mess together. He's the guy who let Saquon walk out the door. He's the guy who...
Rightfully so!
Of course, of course. But in the eyes of the fans, like, he let this happen, right? He's playing a fiddle as Roman Burns. He's Nero. Now, is this the case where, you know, Shedeur Sanders comes in and he Jaden Daniels this thing? No. I don't think the Giants are good enough in all three aspects of the game to make that turn.
But Shedeur isn't either.
No. He's a key.
I mean, he's playing Big Ten? No.
Yeah, Big Ten. Colorado's Big Ten.
Big Ten. Yep. Yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels is an SEC, playing for LSU. I mean, my man.
Drake my May man. Was ACC, so, like...
And Drake May, and Drake May is good, but he's not Jaden Daniels. He's good. He can throw. You know, he can throw.
I gotta say, though, Joe Shane's kid, he knows talent. That kid, he's like, get us Daniels. How do you want me to get you? How do you want us to get us Daniels? Trade. Like, the commies aren't trading with us. Figure it out.
I mean, but how much better the Giants? Well, I guess, how much better the Giants with Jaden Daniels? Maybe two or three games better? They're not a playoff team, are they?
No, but I think they're probably six or seven wins.
Okay.
The problem is that you saw the shot that Daniels was taken last night. That's every week for the Giants.
Yeah, and I don't think he's... I think he needs to really bulk up in the offseason. He has... is a possibility he could get really hurt if he doesn't gain some weight.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
But wow, we really went in on the New York teams. Let's move over to some winning teams. Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings downed the Packers yesterday 27-25 in what was a lopsided game until the fourth quarter. So, Z, did we learn more about the Vikings yesterday or the Green Bay Packers yesterday? And by the way, just to say, Sam Darnold, regardless of what happens next week or even in the playoffs, hell of a job, my man. Like, hell of a job. Like, the last seven games you've played, you have been on fire. I think you have something like 10 touchdowns and one interception, which is just absurd. And it's just unbelievable. And I'm really happy for him. And his team loves him. The Vikings love him. And I wish nothing but the best for Sam Darnold.
He's going to get franchised. He's going to make like $50 million a year. And then the Vikings will regret that next year. I need to see more. Like, this is the first real year that Sam Darnold has been good. Now, you gave him Justin Jefferson. You gave him Jordan Addison. You gave him an offensive line. You gave him Aaron Jones. You gave him quality team around him, and he's showing that he's capable for 1 year. We've seen guys do it for 1 year. Now you got to do it more than once. That's the hard part. And now you got to do it in the playoffs. Yes, 14-2, possibly 15-2 if they knock off the Lions, right? That's crazy. Neither one of us figured in the Vikings to be 15-2. I think that it's a safe assumption there that they definitely outkicked our coverage and outperformed our expectations this year, the Vikings. Based on the quarterback situation and the defense. The defense is what is really showing up for me on tape. Yeah, you have Justin Jefferson, you have offense. We knew that they would have offense because it's KOC. The defense is what's playing under Brian Flores, and Brian Flores is, even though he's suing the league, there's a good chance that Brian Flores will get a head coaching job and should get a head coaching job, because rightfully, he probably shouldn't have gotten fired from Miami. So Flores, kudos to you, my man. I think you found out more about the Packers, though. When the chips are down, the Packers are a good football team. They're good. They need more. Right? You need to be able to hang with the big boys. You need to be able to hang with a playoff-type performance. And Jordan Love just didn't give it last night. He just didn't give it. Now, a lot of that is due to the Vikings. Like, the Vikings are providing that level of pressure. I mean, Jordan Love is 19-30, 185, and a touchdown. They got nothing going on the ground. Jacobs, 17-69, and a tutty. Emmanuel Wilson got burned. 6-29, and a tutty. Okay, so they got something going on the ground. In the air, Dobbs, Wicks, Melton, Jalen Reed. Jalen Reed had one catch for 6 yards. One. Uno. So, to me, that's really more about the Vikings defense, and the Vikings defense is a championship-caliber defense. The question is, when the chips get tougher, right? When the opponents get tougher. The Packers are good. The Packers are going to make the playoffs. We're going to see the real test will probably be when they play the Lions, because they have something to play for next weekend. Most teams do not. They do. And it's a head-to-head showdown. I'm interested to see when the chips are down and you really need it, what's going to come of this Vikings team. We learned a lot about the Packers. They're not on the Vikings level. But next week against the Lions, I think we're going to learn a lot about what the Vikings are.
Yeah, so I kind of agree with you in the sense that, you know, I think we know what the Vikings are. They started off hot, and Sam is just I can't say enough about a guy who just took his homework assignment and did it right, right? Like, this is a guy who already spent time in Carolina. He was shafted by the New York Jets. He goes to San Francisco, where Kyle Shanahan wanted him. Like, he wanted Sam there. And I really believe that being the backup quarterback in San Francisco is really what propelled him for his success with Minnesota, right? Because we've seen Sam have success in Carolina, but it wasn't sustained. You know, after a couple of weeks, everyone figured Sam out, and they exploited him. He goes to San Francisco, and I really truly believe he took it seriously, learned the position better, goes to Minnesota, starts out on fire, then hits a little bit of a lull, but now he's coming back strong again. Like I said, the last six games, he's been crushing it. He's absolutely crushing it. And I mean, we're going to do our picks later, but I mean, I'm all in. I'm all on the Sam Darnold train, and I wish him nothing but success. The flip side, you know, the Packers have a lot of talent. And there's no surprise here. I'm not a Matt LaFleur Flint fan. I don't really think he's that great. But what I will say is that with a young team, they're 11-5 or 11-6 now. Like, no, they're 11-5, right? Yeah, they're 11-5. He's getting the most out of Jordan Love, who's a guy from Nevada who, you know, he doesn't light the world on fire, but at times he's crisp. I think there's just a maturing that needs to happen. I think last night Flores' defense really confused Love. It gave him a hard time, and it took them really three quarters to figure it out, you know, and to come on strong. I think having Jacobs on that team is huge, because I think he brings a veteran presence and gets them out of binds. I mean, there's just some runs that he has that are just like, how did he get 10 yards out of that?
Right.
And he's relentless. I mean, you talk about a guy that's healthy all the time and knows his position on the team and knows the offense. They have a really good tight end craft. They have a bevy of young receivers. Dobbs had a great day yesterday. I know Reed didn't get going, but he will. He's going to learn. What I think we learned about the Packers yesterday is they're not ready, right?
Yeah. This isn't it. It was great last year. They went in and beat the Cowboys. And really, they were probably a possession or two away from beating the 49ers last year, too. But when faced with complex defenses, they struggle. And without their stars on defense, they can't always stop opposing offenses. So, I like Love. I still think Jordan Love is the guy there. I think he's going to develop. I think he's going to be a good player. But they look like a college team out there playing a pro team the first three quarters. He was running for his life. He didn't know where guys were coming from. People were coming up the middle unblocked. And he's rolling out right, running left, taking big shots. He didn't turn over the ball, which I think is good.
He didn't. That's true.
So I think it's just a maturization process. But only having, I think he had like 89 yards passing or 67 yards passing at halftime, that ain't going to cut it, dude. Not in the NFL.
No, not at all. But you got to figure, to go back to what I was saying before, like you're talking about the complexity of the scheme. That's all on Brian Flores, man. Like that is when you're playing a mastermind of.
Oh, yeah. No, I give him all the credit. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's
here's an idea.
Yeah.
They have a very young receiver core. There's a certain wide receiver out of Cincinnati who's a free agent. Do you bite the bullet and bring in a T. Higgins? I know the Packers are not normally dipping into the free agent market for the big splash. Would you make the big splash if you're good coach? If you believe that this team is that kind of explosive player away, would you invest in T. Higgins to pair with this other young core, which is really good?
No, because T gets hurt a lot, and I don't need him. I don't really need him. I need my coach to develop him. I need my coach to develop my players. I need everybody to take a step forward next year. I don't think that. If anything, they need to go out and get offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and linebackers. I think they're set on offense. They have their running back. They have their young wide receivers. Their tight end is a top five tight end. Kraft they're loaded on offense. I think with just the only thing that's missing is maturing, keep taking steps forward. I mean, this is only what, his second full year being the starter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and they took big steps last year by beating the Cowboys and then really almost beating the 49ers. So it's like, we're heading in the right direction. You know, the Minnesota Vikings are a better team, right? That's essentially what it is, you know, we're going up against a better team. And the score says we only lost by two. And really, when you think about it, the way they played in the fourth quarter, they went for two, right, when they didn't have to. So then when they scored their touchdown, they're only down by two. So a field goal wins the game. They got the ball back with an opportunity to go downfield, kick a game-winning field goal, and they just didn't come through.
Now, we need to talk about this. The analytics of it all. When to go for two, when to not go for two, when to go for it on fourth down, when to not go for it on fourth down, when to leave points on the table. It's really glaring how much the coaches don't know what the fuck they're doing. But it's time management and probability. It's not their strong suit. Let's look at last night's Sunday night game. Raheem Morris.
Raheem!
Tick, 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 tick. You had 30-something seconds. You let it whittle down to 17 because you didn't call a timeout. Instead, you ran up to spike the ball. You had two. You weren't going to take them with you to OT. Right? Decisions, like fourth down and 11. That's not really a go-for-it type situation. I mean, certain times and certain places it is, we see coaches going for it. Right? I think that we've gone kind of down the rabbit hole here. Like, you always... My idea, my philosophy is, if you have an opportunity to put the points on the board, you put the points on the board. Even if that means a field goal. Three is better than zero. Three is greater than zero. Maybe that's just me from a mathematical standpoint.
Oatmeal is better than no meal.
Right. Exactly. So I think we need to kind of like go back to that. And it's more of like the analytics of sports in general. Something is always going to be better than nothing. And sometimes the risk is not worth the reward. And some of these coaches, like we saw it last year with Dan Campbell, and we're probably going to see that again with Dan Campbell. They coach too much with that. And
yeah,
there's definitely, there needs to be kind of a reconciliation with the actual feel of the game and what numbers dictate that you do.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. Air Care Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact Air Care Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. Air Care Technicians, 914-315-1547.
But speaking of numbers, there were football games on Christmas Day. There were basketball games on Christmas Day. The NBA seemed to shine a little brighter. The average margin of victory in the football games was 24 points, straight up blowouts. Thank you, 31-2. Houston Texans, 2 points. Bully. Well done. Well done. Steph and LeBron put on a show, left fans wanting more basketball. How about that? So did the NBA or the NFL win Christmas Day, in your opinion?
Yeah, I would say the NBA won Christmas Day. It actually made me... it made me say, just don't do this again. I guess Christmas will be probably on a Thursday next year, I would assume.
So you're competing with a regular night of football.
Let me see. Right. And that's fine. I think that's fine. I'm okay with that. Give me one, because the Thursday game is usually trash anyway. So just give me a trash Thursday game. Don't load up the schedule for me. I don't need to see the Texans get blowed out. I don't need to see any of that garbage. It was awful. It was hard to watch. I had to walk away. Kansas City, I thought it would have been a game. But it's hard, Z. It's hard to play on a Wednesday. And it's just, you know, you saw a veteran Kansas City team go in and run their offense in Pittsburgh without skipping a beat, where you saw like a Steelers team saying, okay, well, George Pickens hasn't played in a while. Let's try to run the ball. We can't stop anybody. And it just falls apart. And Texans are just overwhelmed. Yeah. The Texans aren't a good football team. I don't need to see it. Like, let the NBA have the day. Like, it's fine. Their games, the Laker game, the Golden State game was phenomenal. The last 2 minutes took forever, but it was a back and forth with threes from LeBron, Steph, highlighted plays. We saw Mikal Bridges light it up for the Knicks. I would say to the NFL, just back off, man. Just this is their day. Come next year, put your one Thursday night game on, and that's it. But don't try to compete with the NBA. It's not worth it.
Well, quality-wise, it went to the NBA.
Yeah.
And I think that is in part to what you said. The NFL got greedy by going Saturday, Wednesday with the same team.
Yeah, right.
Now, when I said last week that they did the rest of the league a favor by having the Sunday, Wednesday crew just kind of mix up and reassemble, if they put fresh teams out there on Wednesday, it probably would have been a better product. But, I could interest you in some numbers. On average, the NBA did $7.76 million on Christmas. NFL and Nielsen, according to them, 65 million people watched on Christmas. the average viewer, 24.3 million for that 31-2 ass whooping. So 24.3 million people watched that game. And 24.1 watched Kansas City Pittsburgh. The cat's out of the bag, man. Toothpaste's out of the tube. They're doing Christmas. The NFL's doing Christmas. Now, if Goodell is going to reflect and say, hey, maybe we should have the same four fucking teams do it, maybe there's something there.
But so you're saying that next year have three games, two games? How many games are you doing on Christmas if you're the NFL next year?
Two games, but different teams. If you're going to do the Saturday schedule, have actual fresh teams. So,
well, I think next year they'll be okay
because it's on a
because it's a Thursday game.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, just not the Wednesday thing. Just doesn't work. And even if you were, let's say, if it was like a Friday, I guess what you're going to do two teams too.
Yeah, you would do two games. You would do two games on a Friday. Who are you competing against? A low level bowl game, maybe. Like you're not. I mean, you're not going to be doing
it. I thought it was a bad look. That's all. I mean, because if you're a sports fan and you watched it all, which you probably didn't, you watched the NFL over the NBA, but the NBA had better quality. It was better. They were better games.
Well, it's not an issue of quality. I concede that point that the NBA games were better quality, but in terms of asses in seats and in terms of numbers, more people tuned into the NFL.
So I'm not surprised. I mean, you're not surprised by that, are you?
No, I'm not. But the level with which they did, though, like that's an ass whooping. That was an ass whooping.
Well, we've talked about this in previous leaks. The NBA is struggling. They're losing viewership. They're not gaining any traction. They're a golf cart in the mud right now. If anything, the Christmas helped them because if you did watch those games, they were good games. The problem is like you don't have that many people watching the games. There's more NFL fans than there are NBA fans. And let's be real, Z, what's the reason why people are watching football?
Gambling.
On a Christmas.
Gambling.
I could tell you that I was watching it because it was fantasy championship weekend. Like I had four guys going. I mean, that alone had me tune in. The NBA, it's number what, 16 of 82? Like, you know, what, it has no real relevance here. If it was on, I'd watch it, but I'm not gonna run down to the basement to see what's going on. Or I'm not gonna, hey, put this on, I wanna see, like I'm not gonna do that. Has no bearing on anything.
And then the NFL treated it like a bigger thing, right? Oh, it's NBA on Christmas. This is a tradition. Nah. NFL went one step further, right? They treated it like a mini Super Bowl. Oh, we got Beyonce at halftime.
Yeah.
Dunzo.
And Mariah Carey.
Yeah, you're catching the casuals right there. You're catching the casual fans who watch one game a year, and it's the Super Bowl. Nope, not so fast, my friend. Now we have a big time performance. It was like when Creed played Thanksgiving a few, like 20 years ago. Like, okay, like now you have my attention. You have something,
right.
You have something big. What did the NBA do that was big, that was eye catching besides the matchups, right? Besides the actual matchups.
Nothing that I can think of.
Nothing. Nothing. It's just like, oh, ho hum, it's Christmas.
So maybe that's what the NBA should do. Maybe they should have their little Emirates Cup end on Christmas.
That's a great idea. If you really want to do it, actually, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, do it
because everyone. Oh, I mean, the rumor was going around for a long time. I mean, I haven't heard it in a while, but a lot of people were saying that the NBA should actually start on Christmas. That should be your opening night, like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the day after Christmas should be the opening of the NBA season. That's what was going on, but I guess that ship has sailed.
August? Like when's the season?
No, no, you still finish. Well, now it'd be hard with how much they actually play back to backs and stuff. But yeah, it wasn't gonna end in August. It was still gonna end in like June. But yeah, I guess it's hard now because of all the rules and the resting players and things like that. But
if they were to cut down to 54 games, like you suggested. But starting on Christmas,
that'd be great.
It would be a sprint. It would actually be a better product. I think
so good.
I think you're spot on with that. But in terms of numbers, in terms of asses in seats and eyeballs on TV, kudos to Netflix. Kudos to the NFL. they definitely brought it.
The other problem with the NBA, right, is this schedule that you shot it out there on Christmas was great, but what happens when there's no more LeBron?
Right.
What happens when there's no more Steph Curry? What happens when there's no more Kevin Durant? Like, are you think your viewership is going to go up or down on Christmas, right?
Right. When you put, well, they put Wemby out there. The first game was Wemby. So, like, maybe they're
at
trying
noon,
to,
at in noon, the garden.
Right. At noon in the garden against, you know, Jalen Brunson. So, you know, you have to groom your fans as much as you have to groom the next stars, right? You have to condition fans to want to see certain players at certain time. And that's what they did with LeBron, right? LeBron was appointment television. Kobe is appointment television. Who is the next generation of player that's appointment television? Wemby? Maybe. But definitely not Anthony Edwards. It could have been Giannis, but Giannis is now, like, he's getting old. So, who's the guy?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. They didn't have Giannis on. And Dame.
Yeah, that would have been a good move.
Hey there, NFL football fans. This is the lovely Rita Sanchez, a.k.a. your Option Football champ for the 2023 NFL season. I'm inviting you to join us for the 2024 Option, where we pick the winning teams for each week's matchups and compete against each other to see whose picks reign supreme. Are you in? Head over to CBS Sports and search for the Option 2024 League, or hit the link in the bio on the Fade Route socials and join today. It's for free. Pick a witty name, some winning teams, and I'll see you out there for week one.
But speaking of good moves, Pete Alonso doesn't seem to be making any good moves right now. First basemen are falling off the board as we speak. Josh Bell just went to the Nationals, by the way. So in the past week, 5 first basemen have been traded or signed. Yet, Polar Bear is still on the outside looking in. He may have a new suitor, though. The San Francisco Giants were recently spurned by Corbin Burns, who went to the Diamondbacks on a 6-year, $210 million contract. They have a ton of money to spend. They just added Willy Adames. Should Pete consider playing for the San Francisco Giants to get the money he wants?
If it's about money, then yeah. If you want money, go to the Giants. They'll give you what you want, or close to what you want. I think he's looking for like 5 years, 150 mil or something like, or 200 mil, something like that.
Well, he rejected 7 years, 180 from the Mets, and then he rejected 3 years, 90 from the Mets. So what's really messing with him is the Goldschmidt market and the other, like, all the movement of the other players.
I think what's really messing with him is his agent, right? But that's it. That's on you. He signed him. I mean, he signed with him. I don't blame the agent. The agent's going to try to get the best out of you. He's going to try to get the most money. But is that really what you want, Pete? I mean, the Mets fans love you, you know, and you're a Met. You just are a Met, like, and they've built a nice little team. He also didn't have that great of a year.
No.
It's not like you're coming off of a year where you batted 300 and hit 40 bombs. Like, you didn't really do much for your, like, you didn't have an Aaron Judge type, you know, contract year. So, I mean, if you're looking for money, go play in the Bay, be the third best team out there, and, the Giants are committed to building a team. They continue to try to get free agents there. They continue to, you know, pitch to stars and sell you on being the third best team in California. So it's not like they're going to be like the Mariners. They're going to be like terrible. Like, they're going to try to compete. Nice ballpark, good weather. It's expensive in San Francisco, but. I mean, I think it's clear he should just, with his tail between his legs, just go back to the Mets.
It's an awkward situation, right? Because that ballpark in San Francisco is built for a left-handed power stroke. It was built for Barry fucking Bonds. And he ain't Barry Bonds, right? He's a right-handed power hitter who's a decent fielder. he has warts, and he's entering his age 31 season. So he's on the older side. I understand the money grab. I understand having Scott Boras as your agent, trying to get as much as you can from seemingly drunken sailor owners who want to spend as much as possible. Your career doesn't dictate that, right? It doesn't dictate a $300 million contract. You're a fine baseball player. A good baseball player. Not a great baseball player. You're not going to get the Ohtani money. You're not going to get the Soto money. I would say that 7-year, 8-year, 180, maybe 200, like tops, right? The fact is, 8 years is too much for him. Because you figure by year 4 or 5, maybe even 6, he's going to start breaking down. He's going to be your everyday DH, unless you work in some opt-out clauses. So that's kind of where you are. San Francisco would be a fine fit. It's very right-handed, though. You have Chapman. You have Adamas. You have him. It's a strong middle of the order. But what do you have, like, on the periphery? You have Mike Yastrzemski. Okay. He seems to be a decent ball player. Your outfield is a mess. Helio Ramos. Like, what are you going to get from him? You signed Jung-Ho Lee last year. Okay. Catching, you're still trying to replace Buster Posey. Second base, who's your second baseman? Is it Schmidt? It could be Schmidt. We'll see. We will see. It's not Wilmer Flores. Wilmer Flores is a first baseman DH type, right? Lamont Wade is a first base corner outfield DH type. There's a redundancy there if you bring in Pete. But Lamont Wade is a free agent next year. So you can always trade Lamont Wade. Like, if Lamont Wade is holding you up from Pete Alonso, then, you know, by all means, like, do what you need to do with Lamont Wade. I think he's a Met. But Pete Alonso is a New York Met. Like, he is, his identity is tied to that organization. I firmly agree with you. They just need to come up with a number that's suitable. And this is where Scott Boras hurts his players. This is where it all falls apart, right? Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, JD Martinez. Waited. We're waiting for our market to develop. Jordan Montgomery's market didn't crystallize until opening day last year. So he was set up for failure by Scott Boras. And if you want to spin back even farther, let's go in the way, way back machine. Mike Hampton to the Rockies. Terrible fit. He got paid, though. Derek Lowe to the Dodgers. Terrible fit. He got paid, though. Kevin Millwood to the Texas Rangers. Terrible fit. He got paid, though. This is Scott Boras' MO. Fuck how you feel. Enjoy that paycheck. He is Don Draper. That's what the money is for. Dry your tears with $100 bills, son. Now go play. That is Scott Boras in a nutshell. In reality, go back home, Pete. You are a New York Metropolitan. That is who you are. It deep down in your DNA, your big doofy ass is a New York Met. We as Met fans have come to love you. You have a home. You fit so well in the organization and in that order. The team is better suited to compete than the Giants. The Giants have Logan Webb and God knows what else. Yeah, the Mets may need another starting pitcher, but they brought back Sean Manaea. They're ready. They're readier. They're more ready than the Giants are to compete. I'm sure Uncle Stevie can figure out a way to make this work so that you're happy, he's happy, the fans are happy, and Scott Boras still gets his percentage at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it's all about hubris at this point. A lot of egg on your face. A lot of dominoes are falling. Why not do a 3-year deal with an opt-out? Okay, fine, do that. Rebuild your market, come back, and if you want to leave, If you want to sign with Tampa, you're from Florida. If in 3 years you get an offer from Tampa Bay, vaya con Dios. But don't let your ego dictate this decision. Think about it rationally, not from an ego standpoint. Come back to the Mets. It's where you belong. You're going to get taken care of. Trust
helps with a smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artists, the PopStars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. PopStar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit PopStarBalloons.com to pop your next event.
Fair or foul, judging the more messed up stories of the week.
We have a special edition of Fair or Foul this week. It's all about Major League Baseball contracts. We've had a few big and not so big signings. We're going to talk about them right now. Fair or foul, number one, Teoscar Hernandez going back to the Dodgers for 3 years and $66 million.
I mean, it's fair to me. I mean, I can't believe that the Yankees, the Blue Jays, or the Orioles couldn't get a deal done for him. Like, if that's all it took, Z, how are you, if you're the Orioles, how are you not kicking yourselves saying that's all we had to give this guy to get him here? What is it? You're not happy with the years? You're not happy with the money? Same thing for Toronto. You're telling me you couldn't give this guy 5 years, $100 mil? Like, you, no? Yankees too. So I think it's fair. It's great for the Dodgers. They'll be in the championship game again.
It's fair from the standpoint of that's what the market kind of dictated for Teoscar Hernandez. Like, he was, even coming off his performance last year, teams weren't really, like, knocking down the door to engage with him. You know? He is 32 years old. So there's something to be said about that. So if you're giving him long-term, you kind of need to make sure he has a soft landing spot, right? If you're doing like 5 or 6 years, eventually he's going to end up cycling through that DH. On a 3-year deal, Teoscar Hernandez, I think, will be fine. Right? And that's more palatable that if it doesn't work out, they can deal him. So I think that works out for him. Now, I know you're talking about the Orioles and the Blue Jays, and I think the Yankees kicked the tires on him, the Mets kicked the tires on him, but it's the qualifying offer. They extended Teoscar Hernandez that qualifying offer. They would have lost 2 draft picks. Is that worth in the short term? Teams said no. So that level of compensation.
For who? Like, if you're the Orioles, who are you putting in left field? And Santander hasn't signed yet either, has he?
No. But he is also a qualifying offer rejected, right? So he also has that penalty attached to him, which is why this is taking so long. And that's also why guys like J.D. Martinez took a while to sign last year, because you had to wait. You're waiting for that statute of limitations to expire. That's why they were talking about Blake Snell. Like, this could last into July. It wouldn't last into July because that would be insane. But there's a time aspect to this. Am I going to lose 2 draft picks long-term for a 32-year-old to pay him till he's 38, 39 and probably getting diminishing returns every year? Probably not. That's a little bit of a longer-term type strategy. Would he have worked in Baltimore? Absolutely. But Baltimore is a weird situation. Baltimore is a very odd situation. They have a good young core. They need veteran presence. We mentioned this before. Like, we talked about Nolan Arenado as a potential fit. They have a glut of first basemen. I know that there were rumors of a first baseman, either Mountcastle or O'Hearn or something like that, getting flipped as part of a Luis Castillo trade to replace Corbin Burnes, who we'll get to in a second. Baltimore is weird in that regard. Like, they just have this new owner. He's got deep pockets. There are deep pockets there, but they're not. It's not matching up. The deep pockets are not spent. They're not spending, right? He's not seemed to be reaching into those deep pockets. I think his biggest free agent move so far has been what, Gary Sanchez? Yay. Good job. Bully for you. So Baltimore is a weird situation. Blue Jays, there are always rumors that they're going to tear that down. If I'm Teoscar Hernandez, I've already been there. I've already done that. If I didn't like it then, I'm sure as hell not going to like it 3 years later. So I get that. He's comfortable in LA. He won a World Series in LA. Roll with it. And they'll again, like I said, with Pete, ownership will eventually take care of you. If you perform, ownership will take care of you. And if you don't perform, they'll get rid of you. That's the nature of sports. But you got that far. You remember, you were on a 1-year contract last year. You outkicked it. You got a raise. Good job. Good job on your group. Fair or foul, number 2. Corbin Burnes getting $210 million from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I mean, I think it's foul. I mean, I guess it's really just all about the money, because I know the Mets were interested. Like, what were the Mets throwing at you that you wanted to go to the desert? I mean, you're just playing up here in the Northeast. And I'm sure the Orioles wanted you back too. Did you not see that team that team was close? I don't know if the Yankees are probably interested in him before they got freed, but I'm surprised. And then the Dodgers, I know the Dodgers were interested in him, but then I think they went with Snell. I don't know. I think it's foul. Why would you go to the desert? I wouldn't go there.
Well, he has family in Arizona. I understand that. He's from Bakersfield, California, so you have ties to the West Coast. I also agree. It's foul. It's absolutely foul. When you look at the roster of the Arizona Diamondbacks, you immediately slot in as the ace. You have Gallen, Kelly, Montgomery, Ryan Nelson, Brandon Pfaadt, Eduardo Rodriguez, a really young bullpen. I mean, you have Ketel Marte. You just traded for Josh Naylor. So you're going for it. You're going for it. Corbin Carroll was there last year, notwithstanding he was the rookie of the year 2 years ago. So you got some pieces. Is this more attractive than the Orioles? It's certainly not a more winnable division. Because you're slotting in to be, what, the third best team, you figure? Because you figure the Padres, or even the second best team, if you feel like they've done better than the Padres. So that's what, first wild card, maybe? You can make a run. You could. Does Corbin Burnes take you over the top? Not necessarily. He had a solid year last year. He had really good years with the Brewers. The one saving grace about that is that they got him in early, as opposed to Monty, who they got in on opening day last year. Corbin Burnes, he's also on the other side of 30. Like, we have to, you know, I wanted him for the Mets. Like, he had that, he's a David Stearns guy, right? He was developed through Milwaukee. Like, he would fit in really well. He's 30 years old. He just turned 30 in October. So, I know his peripherals have declined, but a lot of that goes from playing in Milwaukee to playing in Baltimore. Baltimore, much more hitter-friendly. Now you're going to Arizona, which is really hitter-friendly. We saw this with Madison Bumgarner. Like, we thought that was going to be a good signing. Yeah, Mad Bum was a little older, but it was like batting practice. I just wonder how long it'll be before they start, you know, moving him around. But it's expensive. We thought he was going to get in there in that range. I don't like the fit from the ballpark standpoint, division standpoint. He was better suited staying in Baltimore. They're closer to actually reaching and winning the division and possibly like going farther. But we'll see where things go. But they'll still be a playoff team. So congratulations on getting paid, I guess. Fair or foul, number 3, Gleyber Torres signing a 1-year deal with the Detroit Tigers.
I think it's fair. It's a good fit for him. I think Detroit's a good team. He will be a force there. I think he was coming on last year. I have his rookie card, so I like to believe that there's a better version of him out there that hasn't shined through yet. But yeah, I mean, I think let the kid play second base. Don't give him too much to think about. Drop him in the order. Don't let him bat in the top half of the order and see where the dice rolls out.
I'm torn on this because I like to think the change of scenery will do him good. He's there. I mean, it's a very young team. Gleyber Torres is the veteran presence on this team. I want you to think about that first. I want that to sink in. Gleyber Torres is the veteran presence in this lineup. He has to be, because the only other guy that has significant experience on this roster, you ready for it? Javi Baez.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who's going to win out? Whose influence is going to win out here? Is it going to be AJ Hinch, or is it going to be Javi Baez? That's a problem. Like, that could be super destructive for Gleyber Torres. But I think it's fair. 1 year, rebuild your brand here. They've got players, man. The Detroit Tigers made the playoffs last year. Yes, it was on a bit of a miracle August and September. They got hot. They got in. They still got in. You grow, you build on that. A good young lineup. He's not a cleanup hitter. Don't fool yourself into thinking he's a cleanup hitter. He's not your guy. That's going to be Carpenter, or it's going to be Torkelson. It's not going to be Gleyber Torres. He's a low mid, so 6 or 7, or you put him in the top of the order. Like, he's not your impact bat that's going to drive in 100 runs. That's not what you got Gleyber Torres to do. He's a doubles machine when he's right. That's what he's good at. Accentuate what he's good at. It certainly is not fielding. Right? If you can get him to where he's a competent fielder and he's back to being a doubles machine, then you got an all-star on your hands. Right? And on a one-year deal. Like, it's a very low-risk move for the Tigers. Provided that they can jettison Javi Baez. Because he can't be a part of this deal. He cannot be a part of this deal. My issue with the Tigers is more about pitching. It's very young. Very, very, very young. Your veteran presence is Kenta Maeda and Alex Cobb. I think they're a pitcher away. I think they need one more. They could be serious contenders in that American League Central, because when you're looking at it, the Royals, they shot up last year. Can they stay up? I think so. The Guardians are tearing it down. They won, what, 94 games last year? Nah, we're going to get rid of Naylor. We're going to get rid of Jimenez. We're going to cut back. We're going to scale back. So, and we know the White Sox aren't winning anything. I'm pretty sure we can agree on the fact the White Sox aren't winning jack shit this year. That leaves you with Ugas. That leaves you with the Tigers and Twins. We've seen the Twins. I'm done with the Twins. So why not the Tigers? Why not a little Motor City Madness? We saw it once last year. Maybe AJ Hinch can work his magic again with Gleyber Torres. And, dare I say, maybe even Alex Bregman. He's available. That lineup, it gets better. Yeah, you're concerned about Bregman. Defensively, he's not what he used to be. Offensively, he's not what he used to be. He's still a good ball player. He's still a damn good ball player. I don't know. I might kick the tires on him, especially as this continues and the price is right. Right? If the price is right, you nail him. You bring him in. Gleyber Torres, I like the move. Completely fair. And good luck. Good luck. Because I saw enough in the Bronx. Now, we like to talk about coaching in the NFL and how coaching matters. We'll see what happens. Is coaching going to matter for him? You seem to think so. I seem to think so. Now it's time for AJ Hinch to kind of get in the lab with Gleyber and see if they can fix it.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. You vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote was a shout on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be Mr. Matthew Rempe. Matt Rempe. 8-game suspension. Not like it matters anyway. The Rangers are basura. They are the shit on the bottom of your shoe when you step in it. That was last week, though. This is this week. Who are your nominees for the Alleged Superstar of the Week?
All right, so first up, I've got New York Jets. playing Gangsta's Paradise on the road in Buffalo before heading out to the field, and then allowing the Bills to thump you 40-0 to start the game. It's a bad look, bro. Do better. Just do better. New York Jets, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, I've got Pete Alonso. Free agent, first baseman. Your window for a new contract is closing. 5 years, $150 mil is not happening, brah. Go back to the Mets and help them win a chip. That will pay dividends for the rest of your life. Pete Alonso, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number three, I've got quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love. Did not break over 100 yards passing until the second half and was 19 for 30 for 185 yards and one touchdown. You look like you were playing for college yesterday, Mr. Love. Jordan Love, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, you can't really argue with any of those. Absolutely terrible performance. Mediocre from Jordan Love. More Jordan Love. More than outright bad. Mediocre is the way to go with him. But still, not what you're looking for. I'm going to start with Houston Texans. Merry Christmas. 31-2. Your offense. Muster 211 yards. 2 points from the defense. That's it. You got your asses kicked. Now, I don't know if it's because you're like, we have nothing to play for. We won the division. We're locked in at the four. Blah, 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 blee, blee, blee. The Ravens wanted it more, and it showed. They took it from CJ Stroud, you've regressed. You gotta find it quick. Because the playoffs start in 2 weeks. You could very well be one and done. Houston Texans, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the New York Football Giants. How hard is it to just commit to losing? You guys can't even lose right. It's ridiculous. You kind of committed to the tank job when you started Tommy DeVito. He got hurt. Now you're bringing Drew Lock. Drew Lock has this thing called pride. And all of a sudden, you guys are world beaters. You knocked off the Colts. And you knocked them out of playoff contention. Oh my goodness. Either commit to the tank or don't commit to the tank. It's one or the other. It can't be both. Winning against the Colts probably cost you the number one pick. You got the B squad, maybe even the C squad, of the Philadelphia Eagles coming at you this weekend. If you lose, just throwing that out there, you could go as low as 8 or 9. Number one, guaranteed. We got, now we're the ninth pick. If you're going to lose, lose right. If you're going to do it to the fullest of your capability. New York Giants, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, second verse, same as the first, the New York Rangers. Absolute terrible performance against the Tampa Bay Lightning. 6-2, your defense looks lost. It looks like Swiss cheese. Very easily were the Lightning cutting through you. There were holes so wide you can drive a truck through. Keandre Miller said maybe the break was going to be good for them. They can kind of get their mind right. They can, you know, come back with a renewed sense of urgency and a renewed sense of energy. Wasn't there. Is not present. Chris Kreider, I'm looking at you, man. Like, you look poised to be a captain. You look poised to be a Rangers legend. How are you? You're a -3 in 19 minutes on the ice. You're a -3. Panarin, you're a -1. The only reason why you're not a -3 is because you score. Mika Zibanejad looks like he'd rather be in Sweden. He'd rather be back on summer vacation, you know, doing his amateur DJ. And to make matters worse, you can't move any of these guys, because they all have no movement clauses. Igor's got one, Adam Fox has one, Chris Kreider has one, Mika has one, Panarin has one, Jonathan Quick has one. Why does Jonathan Quick, the backup goalie, have a no movement clause? Chris Drury, what the fuck did you do? As much as it is the players, it's on you as well. You negotiated this. You agreed to this. And Peter Laviolette, organizationally, right? It stinks from the head down. It stinks from Dolan to Drury. Now it comes to you. Why are you playing these guys the minutes that you're playing them if they're playing like shit? You got guys like Will Cooley. You have guys like Adam Edstrom. You have players who are young and hungry and ready to go. Play the kids. You got Lafreniere. You had Kako, and then he ran his mouth and you got rid of him. Play the kids. Play the goddamn kids at this point. And figure out how to get rid of the veterans. You know what? Call Joe Shane. Maybe he'll figure it out. Maybe Joe Shane's son knows how to do this. New York Rangers, you are my alleged superstar of the week.
That was good.
Oh my god, that fucking terrible, man. I can't do this anymore. I need to be drinking. I need to be drinking when I watch the Ranger game. It's terrible. And I can't even go to I can't afford a Ranger game. Can't even go in person. Guys, sneak beer in. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote and vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.